Asatarasa Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Gandharva Govinda Sundar Jiva Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sri Swarup Ramananda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavandam ki jai, Navadeeptam ki jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan ki jai, Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi ki jai, Sri Janu Saptami ki jai, Sri Janavi Puja Ki Jai, Sri Ganga Puja Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Om Vishnu Pad Vishvavarena Srila Isa Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Vimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Madhacharya Vrinda Ki Jai, Seva Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna. That's some question.
Maharaj, would you please tell us about Ganga Puja and today's special days, and how do Vaishnavas celebrate them, honor them, and maybe your own experience in it?
We know from Srila Guru Maharaj that we can say supreme importance of Ganga, by extension Jamuna, Ganga, Jamuna, but even pranam he wrote for Chaitanya Mat and Mayapur, and pranam he wrote for Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, Ganga Tata Nikata Navadipa Gharadi Raje, Sri Mat Chaitanya Saraswata Matabara, Udgita Kirtir Jayasrim, Bibrat Sambhati Ganga Tata Nikata Navadipa Gharadi Raje. So, and the Mat Pranam, where he's the conceptual architecture of the mat is encapsulated there, he makes the point that it is, its location is on the banks of the Ganga, Ganga Tata Nikata. It's near the banks of the Ganga and Navadvip. And as he explains in the subjective evolution of consciousness, that the rishis of ancient India, they address everything personally, because everything's coming from Krishna, who is not only conscious, but a person coming from Krishna and Radha and Krishna and all their extensions and expansions. So when Ramachandra approaches the ocean for passage to Sri Lanka, he approaches the person, the ocean personified. So the Ganga, the Ganges, Ganga, is like in Mahaprabhu's prayer expressed after taking sannyas, Chidananda Bano, Sadashundano, Jagat Prema Dhatri, Brahma Gatri, Gurumar's hand. There's, just as there is Shabda Brahma, spiritual sounds, sometimes Jagannath called Daru Brahma, and then there's Jala Brahma in liquid form. So Ganga Devi, she has her personification as inconceivably beautiful goddess, lady, and this apparently objective representation of this subjective plane in the form of the river. So Guru Maharaj said once, we always hear Om Vishnupad, Vishnupad. He said Ganga, sometimes described as Vishnupadi, and that it is taken that she emanated from the lotus feet of Vishnu, Krishna. In different ways, there are different pastimes. As Guru Maharaj once said, all phases of the infinite are infinite. So we hear different, there may be different pastimes, different descriptions, according to the perceptions of devotees at different times, how she descended in this world. But the one way that we hear is when, you know, Adbhutakram, another meaning to he of wonderful stride, Vamandev, the Vaman avatar. We're most familiar with these wondrous strides claiming the universe. But it's also told as one, two, perhaps left foot, second, punctured a hole in the outer covering of the universe. We hear Brihad Bhagavatamritam Rita and elsewhere. Eight coverings, the universe. The Vaman avatar, his lotus foot, punctured that hole. And in some way, place, it may say causal ocean, it may say in this way or that way, but that's one way in which the water is seen to be emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. It's also described as it's coming to earth. It may crash and crush the earth. So Shiva offers his head, and the Ganges goes, the impact of the fall of the Ganga into the earth is through the hair of Mahadev Shiva. So Srila Gurudev, he gave the name at the Govinda Kunda, at that little mandir on the side. He called it the Gangadhar Sadashiva. Dhar means one who's carrying Gangadhar, who's carrying the Ganga on his head. So whenever you see the poster, the painting of Shiva, and you see his matted locks and hair, you see, you know, the half moon, you see different things, the garland of celestial serpents and extension of Anantadev, but you always see little Ganga flowing through his hair. And in preaching in South India particularly, there's always people with different points of view, something Shiva is supreme, Vishnu is supreme, this person is supreme, that person, Devi. One of the arguments, very simple argument that Guru Maharaj would use, some deep, ontological, comprehensive type thing, but the simple argument he would say, when you see Mahadev Shiva meditating, upon whom is he meditating? And you see Ganga, which is the emanated from the lotus feet of Vishnu, he's taking upon his head as worshipable. He's in a simple way, establishing the supremacy of Vishnu, Krishna, in relation to Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Mahadev Shiva. And there are so many prayers, so many songs glorifying Mother Ganga, so revered even to this day in India. Rupa Goswami says in his sloka in Upadeshamritam that even its powerfully purifying capacity is so extraordinary. Even if you see something that you might take to be impure or polluting, it does not actually contaminate the Ganga. The spiritually advanced will still take the water of the Ganga upon their heads as purifying and worshipful. We hear as recently when we celebrated about Pundarik Vidyanidhi that he couldn't tolerate the idea of people like washing their clothes and brushing their teeth in the Ganga. So he would go at night to the banks of the Ganga in Navadvip, and because where he lived normally, it's not flowing there. That's how Rarda, not Radha, but Rarda Desh is identified, where the Ganga does not flow. But so Krishna put Mahaprabhu and many of his great devotees there, Pundarik Vidyanidhi being one, Mukunda also from there. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi would come to Navadvip for Ganga Darshan and Ganga Puja, which incidentally, Guru Maharaj pointed out, you worship the Ganga with the waters of the Ganga. And you take Ganga Jal and offer, say some prayers, offer that to Ganga. Okay. So we will say, only Krishna can glorify himself. Anantadev, if it is real glorification of Krishna, it's coming down, being expressed by the devotees, but they'll say, really only Krishna can glorify himself. It's a mysterious thing. So worshipping Ganga with the water of the Ganga. What other water are you going to offer? You're going to take some water and go, Ganga Cheva, Jamuna Cheva, Godavari, Sarasana. No, you take Ganga Jal and offer that. But to show those who really have some appreciation, because actually, and Guru Maharaj pointed this out, that, I mean, this river culture, river civilization, it's everywhere. And Guru Maharaj even mentioned the Volga River. Volga got honorable mention from Guru Maharaj. He said, Ganga like the Volga in Russia. And if you look on a map, the Volga is, it's huge. I forget how long it is. Does anyone know the length of the Volga? Should be ashamed of yourself. In America, they have the Mississippi, Thailand, Chao Phra, something like that. What's the one? Danao, Danube. What do they call it in Hungary? The Danube?
Danube.
They call it that? Mm-hmm. The Germans call it Danau. And the Seine in France. The Amazon River. Everywhere, rivers. It's just... Actually, human civilization, you can make a case, it's like based on river culture. When I was with Muraleeshwar Prabhu in a city called Penza, there was some kind of cultural festival going on there, even though I think the Volga is like a couple hundred kilometers away. But still, it was like a Russian folk festival. There was one girl there, dressed like in a folk outfit, a good singer. And she was, you know, she's like 12, 14, something, but singing these songs. Asked Muraleeshwar to translate the song, and he said, their songs, she's singing like, how happy our life is on the Volga River. That's what kind of songs they were. That sweet life, because everything you need is there, really. And you see Bengal's like all the little tributaries that come off and then fertilize the rice fields and like that. And there's porpoises in the Ganga. I've seen them in Navadvip. Used to see them all the time whenever you went from Mayapur to Navadvip, Navadvip to Mayapur, because there's the, they call it Jalangi, Ganga. So there's this confluence, and they would like play there. They go under and they leap in the air. So they have port dolphins, a type of dolphin. But it's so, for the spiritually awakened, they can appreciate. I'm saying that river culture is appreciated all over the world, but this, and the Nile, I didn't mention the Nile. And there's other great rivers I didn't mention. You know. But the Ganga, we can't properly appreciate really what this means to the genuine, substantial Vaishnavas, how much love, affection they have for Mother Ganga and what it means to them. But we get a hint. So many examples Guru Maharaj has given to us in relation to his godbrother, Nishikanta Sanyal. Narayan Das Adhikari, Bhakti Shudhakari, but they always call him Professor Sanyal. And because he had such intense devotional mood, and Guru Maharaj mentioned he grew up in that Raradesh where the Ganga is not there. So like the Vaishnava families do, they keep some Ganga Jal in a jar or, you know, some container. And on special occasions, like Pundarik Vidyaniti wouldn't put his feet in the Ganga. He'd kneel on the side, take a few drops. Gurudev allowed for devotees to go, but just it's telling us something about the proper mood of reverence and heart and feeling. It's not, anyway. So where Professor Sanyal, they kept some Ganga in a water, like on a bottle on their altar. On special occasions, a few drops would be taken out, put on people's head very respectfully, bowed, and they would, so much revere that it had so much, it was so meaningful to them. When he later came to Calcutta side and Navadvip, and then saw like the wide Ganga flowing, because there's the Ganga, what they call it, Ganga Sagar, where the Ganges meets the ocean. there's a village has that name. It's not, you go by it like on the railroad, Ganga Sagar. And the people are like, today I'm sure there's a huge festival there. I think every year. Anyway, when he saw like the Ganga at its widest, Guru said, Professor Sanyal like practically fainted. He was so happy and overwhelmed because his whole life, it was, you know, in a little bottle on their altar, and they worshiped that. And then to see it flowing to him, it was like infinite. And really, truly, it is infinite. It's appearing in this manifestation as a river in this world, which is very fortunate for us. Then we can bathe there. But at different times, we see the personification of Ganga Devi. Right? And mentioned in different places, Mahabharata, sometimes Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and repeatedly, slokas mention the purifying capacity of the Ganga and how cleansing one of all of their sinful activities. At the same time, because she is conscious, she's very happy when the devotees will bathe within the Ganga, the great devotees. And what to speak of, you know, Mahaprabhu or Krishna and so many other devotees. The Jamuna is intimately connected with Ganga, and there are descriptions of saying how the wave, like the waves are embracing Krishna. And lotus flowers, the waves gather lotus flowers and offer them to Krishna. So Guru Maharaj is saying, you know, Jalu Brahma, spirit in liquid form. And this, with this Krishna premic capacity of cleansing every one of their sinfulness, and gifting them with Krishna Prem. So, everywhere, but on this day particularly, but always, whenever the devotees, everyone in India, when they see the Ganga, they bow their heads, fold their palms, and offer some respect. Any other question?
Maharaj, is there any story connected with particular today's date, why it's celebrated today?
I'm sure there is, but I don't know. Do you know?
And we have in our songbooks, we have...
I'm thinking also that we know Gurudev, he was bathing in the Ganga once, and what was it? His amulet, the kavacha, had this kavacha that has different jewels on it. It's very valuable, but very, you know, special and useless. It came off of him, and he was very upset about that, and he prayed to Mother Ganga, right? In a chastising sort of prayer. And then, like 3 meters away, it came to him. It's like kind of a miraculous thing. You would never expect to see this again. sometimes, like, that means man, like Gopi Bhav, loving anger. And Gurudev was in Mathura and on Parikrama with some devotees. And then somehow the fooding fell through and there was nothing to, and for the people to eat. And Gurudev said, he's like chastising Krishna, I brought them here to see your birthplace and now they have to starve. You know, and then said mysteriously some man came out of the crowd saying, oh, I see you and your party and you look so radiant and effulgent Vaishnavas. If you would please take prasadam at my house. Then Gurudev said, I was feeling a little like embarrassed. I chastised Krishna and Krishna sent the man and took. He may feel that way, but Krishna is happy to get the opportunity to serve the devotees. So there are so many, the stories are there in the Bhagavatam. And you can read them there. I haven't committed them to memory. I can't answer that. Anything else?
Maharaj, do you have any personal experience in connected with Ganga? Maybe?
Just when we first went to Mayapur, 1974, it was much closer to the Chandradaya Mandir. So it was a short walk through the rice fields, and devotees would happily go in the afternoon, bathe in the Ganga, mainly just not bathe like, you know, with soap, or just go swimming in the Ganga, enter the Ganga sometimes. So other than that, we're just trying to be respectful. And something, I mean, my own personal experience about this is that how many people do not know that the Hooghly River is the Ganga. That I find annoying at times. Like Prabhupada used to say, that, like people would go from Calcutta, get on train, and go to Haridwar and Rishikesh. But they always refer to this huge river you see in Calcutta as the Hooghly River. It's the Ganga. But it got this other name, you know, at different places, sometimes they give it different names. So that sometimes people think they have to go somewhere else. It's also the Howard Bridge is going over the Ganga. It's also the Ganga. But there's a place in Calcutta. There's a ghat, they call it like the Ganga. If you go down, you know, like if you want to go for a Ganga Dart, you go to this. But it's also the Ganga. Just there's some history how it acquired this other name, which is not very pleasant, at least to the ear. So, and Guru Maharaj mentioned when he was forbidden by one. He's going every night to the lectures of Saraswati Thakur. And he's such an acute listener that one devotee thought, like, nobody listens like that unless they're a spy. Because it's India at a particular stage of political. They thought some religious groups are a front for political organization. So this man thought Guru Maharaj was a spy because he listened so perfectly. So one night, Guru Maharaj came, and the man said, I'm sorry, you won't be allowed this evening. He's forbidding the person who has the greatest capacity. If you wonder about things that happen in the Krishna consciousness movement, the person who has the greatest capacity for extraction from Saraswati Thakur, some devotee has decided that he won't be allowed to go to the lectures. And you say, you have problems. That's inconceivable, but that's the way Leela goes. Ayarivakata premna swabhavakuti labhavet, crooked way. So Guru Maharaj is insulted by that, of course. And he said, he went for a walk on the bank of the Ganga. Right? And to think, like, and his thoughts were that some of these Prabhus surrounding Saraswati Thakur, how should you say it, are difficult to tolerate. And then he thought, but Saraswati, what it is that my heart is hankering for, Saraswati Thakur, without a doubt, he's the person who has that. So in deference to the spiritual substance, he is, you know, Gauravag Vigraham Vande Gaurangam Gauravaibhavam Gaurasankirtanamatam Gaurakarunya Sundaram, the Gauravag Vigraha. He is Mahaprabhu's teachings personified, but some of the people surrounding him are difficult. So I'll tolerate them and maintain my affinity with him. That was the conclusion he came to on his walk on the banks of the Ganga. Mm-hmm. So it was just sometimes, I just wish it was more known. I remind myself, because sometimes we would go there, there's that one train you can take. Well, Shelda's on the other side, but there's a train that that drops you off in Howrah, and then you can cross the street and get on the boat and take the boat to like Bagh Bazar or something. And then there are different ways to go to the Mott. That's one. I think Shelda's on the other side. But so anytime you're going, I don't know the name of that road, but it's the side where there's Ambika Kalna, that side, not the Shantipur other side. When you go this side, you can, at different cities along the way, see the Ganga, have Ganga Darshan. Any other question?
Maharajanda, what's the reason we're using Ganga in so many temple activities, like on puja?
Because dear to Krishna, it's called Vishnupadi, super exalted position. So that to gain the favor of Krishna, if Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati, the patra leaf, we take it, tulsi leaf, toyam, the water, Ganga. So they're the high, occupying the highest position. We're trying to get the favor of Krishna. This will be very pleasing to Krishna.
And in our songbooks, we have this Ganga mantra, and it's without translation, and it is not told when to use it.
It's in puja. I mean, Ganga chaiva, Jamuna chaiva?
No, It's different. It's sadhya pataka samhantri, sadhya dukkha vinashini, sukhada bhaktida Ganga, Ganga deva paramagati.
I see. And you're asked, so it's given there.
Yes.
What section is it in?
It's just at the end, and without translation, and without saying where to use it, and what does it mean?
Yeah, you can look at the words and see what they mean.
So we have a couple of questions on quite different topics. Mm-hmm. It says that Krishna is Yajna Bhook, only eats the remnants of the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Oh, how should we understand that?
How can we not understand it?
What
does how it mean? Can it not be? It seems pretty obvious. Am I missing something?
I think it's meant like all those sacrifices and he somehow. Oh.
He must be very hungry. They're doing so many sacrifices and still he's not satisfied. Where that becomes significant, in other words, Bhagavad Gita says, yajna shishta shino shante muchante sarva kilvishai. Right? The first principle of life is eating. Like what do little babies do? It's like as soon as they come out of their mothers. Right? I mean, they eat. Right? Breast milk, I mean, it's a type of eating. So, it's the primal necessity. And Bhagavad Gita is saying, so this thing that, you know, unless you're the sage who's going to live off some ethereal thing, even then they have to eat nectar. Saying, this is the primal part of human existence, eating, sleeping, etc., but eating. So this principle, it can either bind you to material existence or liberate you. So learn to do it in a liberating way. Yajna shishta shino shante muchante sarva kilvishai. Means, so by eating food that's been offered in yajna, sacrifice to Krishna, then instead of becoming implicated karmically, you'll be free from karmic reactions. So it's a reference to prasadam. That's why it's very important. And this principle of, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, what does he say? Prasada seva korite hoy. How does that sound? Prapancha joy. Prapancha means the mundane. Joy means victorious. Saying by honoring prasadam, you conquer over the mundane. And again, by honoring, remember, oh, this has been offered to Krishna, as opposed to something that's not being offered to Krishna. When Sanyal, again, Professor Sanyal's brother, came and saw their feast at some feast at the mat and saying, oh, the you know, you're supposed to be in the ashram and eating so much. And, you know, and Professor Sanyal said, we don't eat. And his brother, because he is kind of eccentric and extreme, and they're like, what are you saying? He goes, we don't eat here at the ashram. There's no eating allowed, actually. And his brother said, but I just saw like so much. And he went, no, that we're honoring prasadam. That is not eating. Okay. The eating of bondage. Gurudev told the story of when Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, Kunja Babu at the time, managing Gaudiya Math, and there's a feast day, and we've seen also at the Math, sometimes the local people come on a festival, like and there's Khichdi, and they bring tiffins with them, little containers. So like, they're eating what you give, but they also have like a little tiffin, you know, and they're like, they're going to take home. Like, so someone like, we say halava, groomer says halua. Same thing. So the man, let's just say halava, because most people will understand that. So he's taking once, then like, oh, Prabhu. They come a second, oh, Prabhu. And then the service said, no, no more for you. And Tirtha Maharaj came and said, man, what are you doing? He said, are you distributing halva or prasadam? Because if you're distributing halva, this food stuff, I can understand it's a limited thing. There's like a limited quantity of that available. But if you're distributing prasadam, which is mercy, there are no limits to mercy, how much mercy can be given to someone. So what are you doing? Are you distributing prasadam or halava? So that's the Vedic system. Those yajna brahmins, vipra, you know, they wouldn't break that principle for Krishna and Balaram, right? I was just saying the other day, when some devotees came late at night, when Gurudev was running the mat, when he was the secretary of the mat, and Guru Maharaj was the acharya and Gurudev was the secretary, if someone came at 11 o'clock at night, Gurudev served them prasadam, nice prasadam, like begun bhaja and other things. Like, no matter what time of day or night they came, and if someone had to leave early before the official offering, they got prasadam. No one ever, the only person, I mean, sometimes Gurudev would tell these heartbreaking stories of himself in the old day, coming back when there was nothing. And he'd say, like, once he was eating newspaper. I mean, you had to, like, laugh through your tears, you know, and like, should I cry or laugh at this? Or, you know. But he said, he was so hungry, he ate newspaper. But that's when someone else was in charge. When he was in charge, that never happened to anyone. So, but still, that principle is there. It's an ancient Vedic principle that he's yajna bhuk. He only eats what is the, you know, given in sacrifice, yajna. That's the general principle, right? I mean, say, of Vishnu bhakti. Right? But Brahma, he says, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, and then in the Brahma Stuti, Nomi Jate Vabra Vapuse Taridambaraya Gunjavatanksha Paripichtala Sanmukhaya Vanya Shvaje Kavalavetra Vishana Venu Lakshma Shmiye Mridupade Pashupanka Jaya Kavalavetra, that part. Anyway, he's saying, his prayers begin with his expressed astonishment at seeing who normally, like Vishnu, because Vishnu's taken to be supreme. Right? Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyant. Vishnu is majestic. Vaikuntha is his domain. It all makes sense. Right? Krishna conception is more perplexing. Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Even the gods are bewildered. Brahma, Shiva, Mohini Murti. That man, teen number tank in Calcutta, he stopped going to the temple, Arati and Diva. I go, why? Because in the song, the Sarasvat Arati, it says, Shambhu Agochar, beyond what even Shiva can conceive. He said, I cannot accept that. On the one hand, I liked it, like that he's that, but then I thought, but then you don't understand Krishna conception. You can't appreciate Mahaprabhu. This is beyond what Shiva and Brahma as devatas. He's siddhantically challenged to understand these things. Right. So Brahma, this is the beautiful thing. Look, Madhva couldn't accept it. The great Madhvacharya. This Brahma, because he's saying Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, something like, not good, but you know, I can't. That Brahma, the Sampradayic guru, he was bewildered. Guru Maharaj put it in these words. He said that the Acharya could be seduced, he could not accommodate that. But Krishna has such seductive charm. We're not talking about Maya. Krishna, Yoga Maya. Not talking about Mahamaya. So Brahma says that in one of the slokas, how bewildering it was for him to see that person, the personality who we know only eats the remnants, you know, the yajna. That's the only way he eats, yajna bhuk. He's the enjoyer of what's offered in the yajna. That he's sitting on the bank of the Jamuna with his friends, and they all have these lunches prepared by their mothers. Right? That's what they're eating. And Krishna's sitting there, and he has a stick, just a stick through his belt, a bamboo flute, and in his left hand he's holding some food and he's eating like that. And he's putting food in the mouth of his friends and they're laughing, and they're putting food in his mouth and they're stealing one another's lunch and teasing. And when he's Brahma, and he said, this is blowing my four minds at the same time. So that's part of his praise. So then we can understand Krishna, he's even beyond that. It's pointing us in the direction of Raga Bhakti. Like once there was something that, you know what is Kajari, right? Ras, this, and then there's Gur, but it's date Ras, the juice from the date palms. But if it's going to be taken, it has to be like before sunrise, like very early. Otherwise, after sunrise, it ferments and becomes alcoholic. Right? So the devotee, they would sometimes want to take this, but they'd tell Prabhupada, like, but it's before the normal offering time. I mean, we were offering water. When I joined, before you drank water, you said, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, and then you drank water. Anyway, so they're like, this stuff, you know, when by the time it's offering time, it's alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Prabhupada very sweetly said, he said, the gopis are always giving things to Krishna, like round the clock. So, Raga Bhakti is that Krishna there with his cowherd boyfriends on the banks of the Ganga, and they're just playing, and Brahma saying that it's like that who's yajna bhuk, that he can have lunch with his pals. That is astonishing. And astonishingly beautiful. That's what he's finding. That's what he's expressing there. How beautiful is Krishna conception? And I didn't. I thought it was something else. I thought it was something lower. That's the natural tendency to think, no, when you have the, like those Brahmins, when you have the yajna and at the right time, after all the appropriate mantras have been chanted, then that's the general way. But Krishna is the Lord of love. Love, spontaneous flow. That's what Raga Bhakti is. Spontaneous flow, love from the heart. What is the girl in South India? The owl is Anadal, or you know, who the deity would only take what she took first. But still, it doesn't mean we should decry the concept of Yajnabhog. No. He's celebrating. That we have to always remember. It's not to be dismissive of other things, but rather acknowledging their substance, and then that points to just the supremacy, the superiority, and the ultimate sweetness of Krishna conception. That's why that Brahmin in Gaur Lila, who comes to the house of Sachimata and Jagannath Misra, and as is the custom, because he has nothing and they have no salary, nothing, so they give him the ingredients. He cooks something, is offering, praying to Krishna, and then Gaura Hari, Nimai, he's coming and eating his offerings. And the man's going, oh, this child ruined everything. Oh. But he's just, you know, it's a child, he doesn't know any better. Then cooking again, offering. And again, Nimai Pandit comes and eats everything. And he's becoming flustered, frustrated, and to the point, then Nimai Pandit reveals, like, In Nanda Bhavan, the house of Nanda and Yashoda, you came and I, as Krishna, ate your offering. Your devotion is irresistible to me. That's why I come personally and eat your food. He's like, oh. And Mahaprabhu was saying, but don't tell anybody. I won't. But it's good to know. So that's what because we're thinking, Guru Maharaj is sometimes saying what we're doing like mock fight, but you can say with live ammunition, right? Means not that it's not real, but our appreciation of it. We're told, Sakshat Brajendanandana Hari, you know, Krishna's the deity. Deha Dehi Vibedo Yamneshwari Vidite Kvachit. Not deity is within, no, that's the deity, 100%, inside and out. But, you know, when Mahaprabhu sees Jagannath, he sees Shyamasundar Krishna. So, we don't have such eyes or depth of seeing, that type of capacity, but still, we're told, do this, like chant this mantra, chant that mantra. Whether you know the meaning or not is not so important. But what I meant there is, if you look at those words, it'll tell you what they mean. They're pretty obvious. So it's praise, again, it's always praise, and look at the key word, what type of praise is being offered. So we do that. But it doesn't occur to us that actually Krishna is fully capable of accepting these offerings. The other day was Jajavar Maharaj's appearance day, And we had the opportunity also to meet him a few times. He would come and visit Guru Maharaj like 1 month a year, stay at the Mat, just speak with Guru Maharaj, Harikatha, take the holy name, sometimes call us over. And once he called Sagar Maharaj and myself over and he said that you encounter many types of opposition and preaching, or people saying unusual things. He said, so in some book somewhere, this is what someone said to him when he was preaching. So the Govardhan Leela, we're told when they start having the Andakut, village to village, people are making offerings, everyone is cooking. Like not only Brahmins, but everyone's making some offerings and Krishna's, you know, taking those things. He's saying, but you know, there's a book in India, there's some book somewhere in Sanskrit that says just about anything. Like Gurudev said, when Guru Maharaj's relatives even wrote a sloka, you know, like that. But so what they're telling Yajavar Maharaj is, oh, in this book, it's implying that there may have been non-vegetarian offerings, according to certain people. And they were accepted. So he said to us, I mean, he's like teasing us. He said, so what would you say to that? You know, if you're, and someone said that, then what would you say? And Sagar Maharaj and I looked at each, we didn't know what to say. We're like, And he said, yat karosi yadushnasi yad jahosi dadasi yad. It's like a joke. It's quoting Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer, do it as an offering to me. So it shows, you know, a sense of humor is what I'm trying to say. But he is also the one who, the last sannyas disciple, Srila Saraswati Thakur, who approached when, and Saraswati Thakur was telling him to take sannyas. It's not like he asked. Saraswati Thakur said, I think you should take sannyas. He was a brahmachari. And then he thought, this is a big, you know, the leap of faith. What if I can't? Who can predict the future? I'm fearful that maybe I won't be able to keep the... He was thinking, approaching other God brothers, and they're saying, yes, Prabhu, that's... I mean, if you have those types of fears or doubt, maybe you should not, you know. Then he went to Guru Maharaj. And interestingly, Guru Maharaj just went to Saraswati Thakur and told him. Then Saraswati Thakur called him in and said, it's this world that you should be afraid of. And he said, if you take sannyas, you're taking shelter of, he said, the abhaypada, means the fearless world. So take shelter of the, but this is the world you should be afraid of, not of taking shelter there, but being here. And so naturally he accepted that. Bhakti Bichar Jajavar Maharaj. And he knew many slokas. Some, when Guru Maharaj would be speaking, Yajavar Maharaj sometimes supplying the sloka. And Guru Maharaj, like if he couldn't think of some particular one, consulting with him, and he's like, had this great scanning ability and to pull obscure slokas out of the Puranas and different places. And a very mild style and delivery. Any other question? Oh, and also in the final days, the Jajavarmars was a good singer. In the final days, months of Saraswati Thakur's pastimes, beginning in Jagannath Puri, he was singing the Siddha songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Thakur, right? What we generally do not, in that final time, Saraswati Thakur had him singing those songs as he was preparing to leave the world. And he would also sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, like on a daily basis. And the Saraswati Thakur's internal thinking was moving in a particular direction as he was withdrawing from this plane and hearing those songs from Jajavar Maharaj. He appreciated very much. Anything else?
Yes, Maharaj, we have an online question.
Yes.
Kunti Priyadidi is asking, we can read in general features about Shvetadvipa Island. What is the meaning?
Shvetadvipa?
Shvetadvipa, yes.
Oh.
What is the meaning of it in connection of Ganga Mata in the sphere of consciousness?
It's something I find repeatedly mystical. That's all I can say. I'm sorry. Once, you know, in the beginning of the Brahma Sanghita, there's some descriptions there about Krishna Loka. And once I had the seva bringing the ISKCON artists to Guru Maharaj, they're going to do Brahma Sanghita, they want to ask him some questions about this. And so we mentioned this first, the introductory descriptions there. And Guru Maharaj's answer, he said, I'm sorry, but we are forbidden by our Guru Maharaj to discuss these things. And then he gave this most wonderful talk about, on that theme. But I would say this, that Guru Maharaj could discuss that. I couldn't discuss it if it was allowed. So whenever I read that, I just hear it and think about it. I think it's inconceivable, because we're talking about Krishna Loka. Even on the subject Goloka Gokula, it's generally thought Goloka Vrindavan's extension into this world is Gokula. Then when the Prapancha winds up, then... But once in a discussion with Guru Maharaj, and with some reference to Jiva Goswami, he said, but there are those of the opinion that Gokula is the original. That when Krishna descends into the world, he brings his original abode, not a satellite or extension of it. And what remains is the satellite extension. That's Goloka. So Gokula is the original. And he's bringing that original and allowing the finite. Remember, in Goloka, there are no demons except by rumor, imagination, portrait, play. There are no sinners in the spiritual world. There are no sinful creatures there. In this world, when he brings Gokula Vrindavan, Gurumaharaj said, then the infinite mixing, allowing the finite to mix into these pastimes. Just like in one place where Mahaprabhu is being warned by one of his devotees secretly not to go in a particular section, it could be dangerous. And he's acknowledging that, appreciating that, and saying, but actually, I will give that person some inspiration within so that they won't do anything, but maintaining my policy of not interfering with the free will of jivas, if he decides not to accept that inspiration, there's like a B plan also. So it's a very mysterious thing, the infinite mixing with the finite as though he's one of them, which we can extrapolate and think, like, from the perspective of the infinite, that would be interesting. The infinite moving amongst the finite. And then we're back to Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma saying, I couldn't perceive that this would be, this. He's the father of Narayan, of Vishnu. Narayanastam nahi sarvadehinam sloka. Says, are you not my father Narayan? Because he is Atma Bhu, born from the lotus navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Krishna said, how can I be your, I'm 5 years old. How can I be your father? You think, no, and then he starts explaining the Siddhanta of expansions, avatars, etc. So those descriptions, they can be heard but not discussed in detail. Yeah.
Maharaj, when Krishna descends to this world and kills all those demons who...
Vishnu aspect, Krishna not. That's Lago Bhagavatamitam Rupa Goswami.
No, Krishna, as in Gokul, he kills all the demons.
I'm saying, yes, and it's a Vishnu aspect of himself that does this. And Swayam Bhagava means they're all within him.
And each demon is personified some kind of a sin or fault that is in us and prevents
that's
us.
That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chaitanya Shikshamritam. First of all, these pastimes, they actually play out in the way they're described. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some allegorical interpretations of them. Example, Putana, who's first, and as representing the false guru. Because she comes as a nurse to nourish the baby. So as the someone in the guise of a Gaudiya Vaishnava comes, suppose the baby means the sadhaka in the infant stage, and they can't detect this person is a sahajiya or something else. So they're actually poisoning the baby. So he's saying, you, the demons killed by Krishna, some are killed by Krishna, some by Balaram, the ones killed by Krishna, the sadhaka, the aspiring devotee themselves must deal with this. That's an example. And then other, and it's given there in Chaitanya Shikshamritam. Hare Krishna. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam. Kuta, kalakuta means poison. Aho baki. Baka, Sura, sister. Baki is Putana, little brother. Baki, Bakanuja. Aghasura. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigam sayapayayadap yasadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamba doyalum sharanam brajema. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai, Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Radhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhata Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunath. Jai go jai kori charana bandan. Jaha huite vignanash abhishta puran. Jai go jai jar muitaro dan. Mora padarenu mora panchagran. Tandara charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janame janame mori abilan. Chai go chai jabe braje koilo vas. Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakash. Anande bolo hari bhaja Vrindavan. Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Guru Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamadas. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you. Raja Gacharya Sarasvati Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ji Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sri Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai, Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadeep Dham Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Sri Janu Saptami Ki Jai, Sri Janavi Puja Ki Jai, Sri Ganga Puja Ki Jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai, Om Vishnupad Vishvavarena Sri Lesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Madhacharya Brinda Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimala Vidut Maharaj Ki Jai, Jai Srimati Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai, Seva Brinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai, Nithai Go Premanande.